Now, for the listeners, as you said, you know, the first segment of our program, before we went on the Ramadan break, and Mufti Saab did commence speaking about barakah, blessings, and Mufti Saab just gave us the general understanding or explanation, definition, what is barakah, and then Mufti Saab took us through a few of those discussions as far as barakah is concerned, you know, how to attain it, etc. Now, today we're going to continue with the discussion of barakah, of blessings, but we're looking at it specifically in business, barakah in business. And Mufti Saab will take us through these various questions which we'll post through to him, and inshallah we will learn some amazing things today as we always do. Mufti Saab, you know, one of the main points to understand as far as barakah is concerned, many people think that you know, if I get a lot, then that means that I've got barakah. So abundance is normally understood to be barakah. So does abundance really translate into barakah?
If we examine the world at present, we'll find that there's more wealth in the world than before. There's more resources. You know, more of the natural minerals, etc., has been discovered now. And what is lacking is the lack of contentment has never been on this level before. And the reason is that we have kathra, which is abundance, but we lack barakah. We have abundance, but we lack blessing. So, you know, it is not that abundance leads to barakah, but it is barakah that leads to abundance. And within what you have, there is a sense of abundance.
Subhanallah, very, very, very profound and very beautifully explained by Mufti Saab. Barakah will lead to abundance. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you barakah in your dealings and in your business, etc., then that will lead to abundance. If you have abundance, there's absolutely no indication that that means that there is barakah in it. And it does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally pleased with you as well, because the kuffar, the disbelievers, those that disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have also got wealth. So having abundance of wealth does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way is pleased with you. Now, Mufti Saab, you know, as we said, that today the discussion is taking a look at it as far as business is concerned. What are the benefits of always being honest in business dealings?
The hadith speaks about honesty being a key ingredient in the recipe for barakah. And there are many examples from our pious predecessors. On one occasion, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah sent a consignment of goods to his partner. And since the consignment included a cloth with a defect, he alerted his partner of the defect and instructed him to reveal the defect to the customers before selling it. However, the partner sold the cloth and forgot to reveal the defect, and did not know which customer he sold it to, so there was no way of contacting him. And when Imam Abu Hanifa learned of what had transpired, he gave the entire income from that consignment, which was 30,000 dirhams, in charity. And since his partner had not displayed the desire of the level of caution, Imam Abu Hanifa terminated the partnership. Subhanallah. A woman once came to Imam Abu Hanifa looking to purchase a silken cloth. And when Imam Abu Hanifa showed a certain cloth, she said to him, I'm a weak woman and this is an amana. So please tell me this cloth for the amount that it cost you. How much did it cost you? So Imam Abu Hanifa said to her, take it for 4 dirhams. And the woman could not believe that Imam Abu Hanifa was prepared to sell her the silken cloth for just such a low price. So she said to him, don't joke with me, I'm an old lady. And Imam Abu Hanifa explained, said, you know, I had purchased two cloths. I sold one of the two cloths, which for the price that covered the most of the capital besides 4 dirhams. So the remaining amount that this thing cost me was just 4 dirhams. And you had asked me with a, you know, asking me in the sense of amana. So therefore, I had to be honest and tell you that it just cost me 4 dirhams. So this was the extreme level of honesty. You know, the hadith comes, فَإِنْ صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيِّمَا وَإِنْ كَذَمَا وَكَتَمَا فَأَسَى أَنْ يَبْرَحَا رِبْحًا وَيُمْحَقْ بَرَكَةَ بَيِّمَا. That if the two transacting parties are truthful and clear in their dealings, the transaction will draw divine blessings. If they are dishonest and deceitful, then although they may make a lot of profit, that will be destroyed, or it will destroy their blessings, the effect of it. And so this was the level of honesty in transactions, and we see that how it drew barakah into the transaction.
Most certainly, that is one of the key ingredients. If you want to have barakah in your life, particularly in our discussion today, if you want barakah in your business, etc., then a key ingredient is to be honest. And sometimes, in your honesty, it might seem like you might losing a sale, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the rest of it. Muftisab, they say on the side of caution. Explain this to us.
Yes. Islam not only advocates for justice and honesty in our dealing, but we encourage to err on the side of caution by giving those with whom we deal sometimes actually more than they deserve. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once instructed a person who was weighing the amount for payment on his behalf, saying, weigh and give more to the seller than he deserves.
Subhanallah.
And in this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed the ummah the true spirit of a Muslim in a business place. They're so eager to acquire barakah that he's prepared to forego some portion of his own wealth rather than risking cheating the next person or not giving him what is due. And on one occasion, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah purchased some lentils on credit.
Mm.
And leaving his bucket with a lentil seller,
right,
as collateral. And later on, when Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal paid for the lentils and wished to collect the bucket, the seller presented him with two buckets, saying that, see which one belongs to you. Imam Abu Ahmad said that, I cannot identify which bucket belongs to me, hence I absolve you of my bucket and the money that I paid for it, for the lentils. So you keep your bucket as well as the money. And the seller thereafter remarked, by Allah, I knew which was your bucket, but I merely wished to test you. So this was, giving something extra, giving more so that, you are in the clear. So that you're not violating that person's right, and this is the extreme level of caution.
Subhanallah. Beautiful example that Mufti Sap shared with us in the previous question that we posed to him. Now again, as Mufti Sap, has beautifully explained to us the Islamic guidelines and teachings and etiquette is to rather on the side of caution. You rather, you rather make the person happy than devoid yourself or take away from yourself the barakah and the blessings. Now, Muftisab, Muftisab did share with us the amazing incidents of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, etc. There's an incident about a Sahabi, radiallahu an, where on one occasion he actually paid more than, what the seller actually wanted. He gave more than what the person wanted. Maybe you can share that story with us as well.
Yes, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says that I was once seated with one Sahabi in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yu'minu abdun hatta yuhibba li akhi al-muslim ma yuhibbu li nafsi. A servant is not a true believer until he loves for his brother, until what he loves for himself. And the Sahabi, Sayyidina Anas says, I went with the Sahabi to the marketplace when item that he wished to purchase was being sold. This is when I began the negotiation, asked the seller how much he wanted for the item. He replied that he wanted 30 dirhams. The Sahabi who was with me, Sayyidina Anas says, looked at the item and said, not 30, I will pay 40 for that. And the seller was surprised and he said, why are you paying me more than I'm giving it to you for less? And the Sahabi responded by looking at the item one more time and saying, I will actually pay 50 for this. And the seller inquired and said, but why are you paying me more than I'm giving you it for less? The Sahabi replied, I heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that a person is not a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And I feel this item is worth 50. And therefore, I am willing to pay 50 dirhams for it. Can any one of us imagine that an item is being sold for 40% less than the normal price, yet we insist that I want to pay full price. Don't give me a discount. I want full price. This was something common by those who were people, who were lanterns of guidance, Sahabi and Nujum, subhanallah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu had set the perfect example for us. There's also another incident that I'd like to share, that a woman once came to Yunus ibn Ubaid, rahimahullah, and offered to sell him a silken robe. And Yunus ibn Ubaid asked her the price, which she replied 500. And Yunus ibn Ubaid responded, it's worth more than that. the woman thus increased the price to 600. And Yunus ibn Ubayd said, it's worth more than that. Yunus ibn Ubayd continued to raise the price in this manner until he eventually purchased the robe for 1,000. The price was increased. So a person increases the price of the commodity that he's buying, if you're willing to pay more for something, where will you squeeze the seller to get, this guy is leaving the country now, his flight is booked, so you can squeeze him, you got no option. Whatever you offer him, he's got to take it. Or this person is really, really tight, so he needs the money desperately, offer him half, he's got to accept it. That is our mentality. We try to get a bargain and then feel good about ourselves. Imagine, if you're willing to pay more, then you won't squeeze the person. That shows to what level a person will go then, looking out for someone else's benefit.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah to Mufti Zab for sharing with us those amazing examples from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. These are the people that we need to emulate. These are the people that we need to copy. We go and we look for every type of discount. We try and cut every corner, how we can pay less and we want more. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum taught us, somebody's giving you something, it's got greater value than what they're actually asking for, the price that they're asking for. You are in a position to give them more, then why not help them? Why not assist them? Why not make things easy for them? That is the beautiful examples that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had left for us. Now, Mufti Zab, we did earlier on speak about honesty and how it can benefit you as far as your business dealings is concerned. What about character? How can good character have an impact in your business and in your gaining barakah?
Yeah, one of the dominions in which Muslims interact most with non-Muslims is in the business world. Mm. Our customers, our suppliers, our employees, our fellow staff members, acquaintance, employers, for many of them, the business sector is the only place where they're exposed to Muslims, to Islam. So therefore, the conduct of a Muslim in the business, contributes largely to these non-Muslims' impression of Islam. What will they view? I've heard someone say that, don't tell me about Islam because I deal with Muslims and I see they're the worst to deal with. They will always do you down. Mm-hmm. So that is the only introduction that the person had to Islam, and unfortunately our Muslim businessman gave him that very poor impression of Islam. Whereas it should be the other way, where a person says, I dealt with a Muslim and what an amazing interaction I had. And based on my interaction with this person, I will accept Islam. There's an incident of Imam Abu Hanifa once went to the house of a fire worshipper to collect some money that was owed to him. And Imam Abu Hanifa arrived at the door and some najasat, impurity stuck onto the sandal. Imam Abu Hanifa shook the sandal. And as the impurity was removed, it fell onto the fire worshipper's home. And Imam Abu Hanifa was worried and perturbed. If he left impurity on the wall, it would cause the wall to appear unsightly. Then he scraped it off, some portion of the sand of the wall would be removed. So in the state of concern, Imam Abu Hanifa knocked on the door and was answered by the servant, to whom Imam Abu Hanifa said, tell your master that Abu Hanifa is here. The fire worshipper came out to Imam Abu Hanifa, worried that he had come to collect the outstanding money, and he thus made excuses that, I need some time, this, that. Imam Abu Hanifa told him that said to him that, we have a problem at hand that is far more important than the money. Look at the wall. How do we clean it without causing damage? And the fire worshipper was amazed at the character of Imam Abu Hanifa and the concern that he displayed for the property of the person who owes him money. Before purifying the wall, he said that I wish to purify myself by accepting Islam. And he brought Iman. So if we treat people with kindness and compassion of Islam, that the Islamic conduct will create an indelible impression on the hearts and minds of these people, and they will undoubtedly be attracted to the deen. And conversely, we display character that is bereft of Islamic values and qualities, people will be led to the conclusion that Muslims, they're the worst. Mm-hmm. Don't ever deal with them. Well, don't work for a Muslim. He will make you go late for Jummah and make you come back having your Jummah lunch. So that is the type of impression that we create sometimes. So we ought to leave good impressions on everyone, on our own staff, and also the non-Muslims that we interact with.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. Very, very, very enlightening incidents that Mufti Saab has mentioned with us, and it just shows how much your good character, how much it means. You know, Mufti Saab, I was once out in Jamaat, one of the outlying areas, you know, in the Midlands area in Durban, and I met one youngster and I started speaking to him, and then, you know, I was asking him quite a few questions, and then he turned around and asked me that, where are you from? And I told him that I'm from Joburg. So he said, Joburg is big, way in Joburg. And I told him Lens, and he was a very friendly youngster. We were getting on quite well, and the minute I told him Lens, his whole attitude changed. And then I told him, but what's wrong with Lens? Why do you dislike Lens so much? And then he told me about the whole business deal. It's actually a car salesman, and he told me about the whole business deal that went wrong, and how a Lanesha Muslim businessman deceived him, you know, as far as a car that he was going to buy is concerned. And he told me, I will never put my foot in that town again, you know, because of the business deal that went wrong. And he just linked everything to Lanesha, and he said, I don't want to ever come back to that area again. But it just shows that, you know, this is the impact that your dealings have. This is the way it impacts people, and this is the way it affects people. If it can take people away from wanting to visit your area, it surely will take people away from the religion of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Moves up another important aspect.
So, you know, we have to clarify that, look, he had a bad dealing. Okay. But, you know, generally the businessmen of Lanesha are very upright. And we love Lanesha.
Yeah, the rest of them are all good. Alhamdulillah. Moves up, you know, another important aspect, be easygoing.
Yes. Once Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu purchased an orchard from a person. After agreeing to the price, Sayyidina Uthman said, give me your hand. It was the practice at that time that, you know, to shake on it, it's confirmed. When the seller saw the hand of Sayyidina Uthman, he said, no, you know what? I actually want more. The deal is already concluded. He said, I want to increase the price. So Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf was there, said that, you know, you're entitled to it. It's done. The deal is done. So Sayyidina Uthman said, oh, never mind. I'll pay him more. And then he said that, I heard Nabi Salaam say that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْخِلُ الْجَنَّةَ رَجْلًا كَانَ سَمْحًا بَائِيًا وَمُبْتَاءً وَقَاضِيًا وَمُقْتَدِيًا. Allah will admit a person to paradise who is lenient, considered easygoing when he is selling, when he is buying, a person paying a debt or claiming it under all circumstances is easygoing. So Sayyidina Uthman said, yeah, take the 10,000 dirhams so that I may be eligible for the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was more concerned about being eligible to the glad tidings than getting the money. He was prepared to pay extra money so that he could get that. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Rahimallahu rajulan samhan idha ba'a wa idha ishtara wa idha qittada. That may Allah have mercy on a person who is lenient, considered easygoing when he sells, when he buys, and when he claims his debt. So everyone cherishes the du'as of, you know, the saintly person. I got the du'a of a buzruk. I got the du'a of my parents. Yes, imagine we have the du'as of our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who made du'a, Rahim Allah, may Allah have mercy on that person. So it should be, you know, that should be our attitude in terms of being easygoing. There's also another narration that there was the angels that had come to take the soul of a person, and they asked him, Amil Takhayran, did you do any good? And he said, no, I didn't do any good, I can't remember. So he said, think. So he said, no, I don't think I did anything good, except that the people working for me, I told them that, you know, when a person who is in difficulty comes, then give him time to pay his debt. And the person who is also good, in a good financial position, give him a small discount, knock off some price for him. And because of that, this person, Allah had entered the person into Jannah. So you know, there's great virtue in being easygoing, being lenient. We say, you know, live like brothers and deal like strangers. When it comes to business, I take my pound of flesh. Rather, give a pound of flesh than taking your pound of flesh.
SubhanAllah, really, really, really interesting that Mufti Saab has mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. Mufti Saab, in conclusion, what should our mindset and outlook be?
Okay, so in conclusion, you know, what we need to understand is that our mindset, our outlook is extremely crucial. It governs our actions. And for us as a businessman, we need to understand firstly that the wealth that we're making, the profit, the wages, that comes with barakah hidden in it. And if we conduct ourselves in the right manner, observing the etiquettes and the principles that we've outlined, then that hidden hand will be in our wages. Mm. Then the wages that you've come, things are going up, prices are up, petrol price, bread price, this and that, but the barakah of our wages will also go up. That meaning we'll be able to attain more, fulfill more of our needs, we'll gain a great deal of contentment. Nabi Salim said, "Man talaba dunya halalan isti'fafan anil mas'ala wa sa'yan ala ahlihi." Whoever seeks the dunya in a halal manner to avoid begging from people, asking help from your family, depending on handouts from organizations, go out seeking to provide for your family, showing kindness to your neighbor, that's your intention. وَتَعَطُّفًا عَلَى جَارِهِ Then, لَقِيَ اللَّهُ وَوَجْهُهُ كَالْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ Then that person will meet Allah while his face will shine like the 14th moon. وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا حَلَالًا مُتَكَاثِرًا مُرَائِيًا لَقِيَ اللَّهُ وَعَلَيْهُ غَضْبًا The one who seeks dunya in a halal manner, but his intention is to amass wealth, to show off to others, you will meet Allah in such a way that Allah will be angry with him. So it's important to note that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their outlook, their manner, their intention, and we need to abide by that. May Allah give us the ability.